So welcome and good morning. My name is Dominique. I work for Intel Open Source. I'm located in the west part of France in Brittany. And I'm the architect for Tizen IVI and for Tizen Common. We are going to talk today about Tizen IVI, the project, overview of the architecture, and which are the key new features that we have been adding this year. In the presentation, I will also emphasize quite a lot on how the project is run and how you can use the project, because likely the biggest change that we have introduced between Tizen 2 and Tizen 3 is the fact that now all the development is happening in the open, and all the problems are discussed in the mailing list, including between the key members of the community. So you have capability to really be part of it if you want to, which was far more difficult in Tizen 2, where we had an entire development and we were actually dropping codes once in a while. So what is Tizen IVI? It's not only about connected in-vehicle infotainment. Originally, we really started, as was said during the keynote, with Genevieve, and Genevieve was really targeting on the IVI part, so really the entertainment part of the car, everything dealing with radio and navigations and potentially climate control. We are now looking as well as trying to do consolidation, and the first thing we're definitely going to help to have is ADAS, the Advanced Driving Assistance System, and our next goal will be to do integration of the numbers of CPU. For those of you on the IVI, you know, for the other one who are looking at it from the outside, you may have not realized that in a modern car today, you have quite easily between 50 and 60 CPUs. It's getting even worse every month. That's far too many. So it's a problem by itself. It creates complexity. The software development is getting very difficult. So it will come in. So what do we do with IVI? The first one is we decided from the very beginning to support Intel and ARM. And you may have noticed that in one of this session today, someone is going to talk about how to port Tizen on ARM, and it's actually a guy from Intel. It's critical for us to demonstrate that we are actually multiple platform. The second point is that it's a secured Linux embedded distro. This is a key differentiator between Tizen and the alternative system which are available on the embedded traditional market, is that we provide out of the box a security system which is enabled. For all of you who have tried to play with that, you know that the first time you activate the security system, then it stops to work. So it's a big challenge and we deliver it ready. We've been focusing on making it small and so to have very fast boot. So the booting time is key. Nobody wants to be waiting in his car, you know, for 45 seconds after you started the car to have the system working. It has to get advanced connectivity, not only having the 3G connectivity, but have the Wi-Fi connectivity, have the connectivity through your phone, be capable to manage multiple SIM. Modern cars tend to have SIM embedded for emergency, while for every day you want to use your phone. We wanted to have WLAN because it was light and quick, but we wanted to have WLAN supporting multiple graphical toolkits, so we have done that. HTML5 is in because it's a Tizen device, and we believe that HTML5 today is really the only technology which is ready and mature to manage multiple screen size, which is a key requirement. And on top of that, we add some specific ideal IVI middleware, how to manage media, how to manage data coming from the car over the CAN, how to manage phone and messages, while remaining compliant with the IVI standards from Genevieve and automotive grade Linux. So that really what is Tizen IVI. It's a pretty ambitious program that we have done. We do it as an open project, so everyone can be a developer. And as a developer, you can submit patches, you can propose things, you can review wiki pages, you can change wiki pages. Anybody can do that. It's free, you just have to log yourself and register yourself on Tizen.org and get your private key accepted or introduced in the system, I would say, in order to be able to push reviews. So reviewers are really people who become reviewer. If you get good, at the end of the day, we'll ask you to become a reviewer. Integrator are a bit of special beast. They are probably the people who have the capability to do review on every domain or on a very large subset of domain. We had to do that because in Tizen, we have some area where we don't really have a need for maintainer in certain area, but sometimes we have a small things to do. So like integrating a new release of something from an upstream project. Maintainer are really in charge of deciding what gets in. And the architect on the top probably drives the technology orientations and makes a cut when the discussion is too long on the Dave mailing list. And sometimes you just have to decide how it's going to be. And we all know, being part of the open source community, that sometimes we're very good at discussing things for a long time. So that's how it works. And it works then by domain and by subdomain. So it's a quite simple system. The main advantage is that the visibility of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it is permanently there, and you have access to it. A contribution flow, it's fairly traditional. You write your code, you submit it into Gerrit, it's reviewed. It's either approved or rejected. When it's rejected, in general, you have submission saying, you know, why it's rejected, and you can review it again and change it. When it's approved, it's going to be integrated, get it into a test build. If it doesn't break the build reference, it's going to get into the snapshot, you know, and then it will go into daily and the release. I insist on the fact that there is a step here between your contribution can be approved as a review and actually then can still be rejected here. And that is typically when you have something which is breaking another architecture. And that's why we have actually built a lot in common today, because we want for the packages which are either common, so used by everybody, or shared by multiple profile, we want that contribution are tested against multiple architecture. We have seen people making submissions which were breaking, you know, the 64-bit. That's a very common case. People just put hard-coded pass, or they forgot to have a clean cast on some data type, and it works on 32, but it doesn't work on 64. So that's a common case where we can decide to actually push you back. But it will come back. You will know why it's been pushed out, and you are welcome to resubmit with your correction. Then it will be in the release. So it's open to all of it. Now, how do we do a specific profile? And here we are to talk about IVI specifically. And so in the IVI, we are going to use the first part, which is coming from the common. So common, you can see it as three set. Really, what is common? And that is what each profile shall have in a common device. So it is probably the core. I'm not going to talk about common. There is a presentation happening now, so it's very difficult for you to see it at the same time, done by my colleague Stefan, but it will be registered, and so I invite you to actually have a look at it on the web. But core really provides the Linux base, the key middleware, the security subsystem, the web runtime. That's really what is in. Then on side of core, we have the adaptation layer platform. Obviously, the adaptation layer for an Intel is different from an ARM. And while in Intel, it's reasonably constant because of the way our platform are designed, we have a quite unified system. On ARM, it can be very widely open. You know, by definition, ARM only provide reference implementation, and each chip manufacturers decide what they want to have. We also have a set of development tool. Now, in the common image that you can download on the internet, the QA test and the development tool are always included. It doesn't mean that they have to be on every product. They're just there for your convenience. Because Obviously, if you take a common image to do a test, it's very practical to have the test tool so that you can check your stuff. And then we have what we call the shared packages. So the shared are a bit on the side. The typical example are EFL, Graphic Toolkit, the Qt toolkit, which is actually done by community effort. It's not a Samsung Intel effort. Ofono, which is a open source modem management and phone management. Those can be used in a profile or not, but we wanted them to be tested against multiple architecture systematically because they are key and they are used not by all the profile, but by multiple profiles. Now, you will see this changing. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to make core smaller. So we have already done quite a lot of strict diet to core in the last months. We reduced it a lot, but we want to reduce it even more. And we will keep going on that. We really want to get it as small as we can. And you will likely see some more packages getting into the shared part. A good discussion, for example, is to have potentially the PIM system becoming part of shared. Because then it's automatically tested for multiple architecture, multiple reference devices. And if multiple people use it, it's quite interesting. It comes in automatically. So as an AVI people, we are built on common from the next official release. If you go to the today snapshot, the daily snapshot from AVI already built on common. And that is important for you to realize because it means that if you raise a bug, you will have to decide if that is a common package or if it is an AVI package. On the wiki, we document which one are on which side. If you make a mistake, because we have unified the database for bugs, we only have one database for bugs now going on, which is called TC, we can easily move them from one to the other one. But the idea is that people are syncing on a regular basis on common. So if you are on a very early phase of your development, likely you're going to sync on the weekly or even on the daily sometime with common. If you are more closer to product release, like you want to be potentially on a quarterly release so you have more stability. But that's your call. Common doesn't do profile as such. So we're not going to do a golden release. We're going to do daily, weekly, and we will do a quarterly that will be a bit better tested. But you know, we are the upstream project of the core. Now, what are we going to do with that in AVI? In AVI, we probably had a set of milestones which have been done now. And the big milestone we had was release just after the new year, was 14.1. And that was the last release that we had, which was based on the old model before common integration and with the traditional WebKit 2 web runtime. From now on, we have moved to the common baseline, and we have integrated fully the security and crosswalk. So that's already done. Our goal is to have an intermediate release around now. We actually are stopping, we are freezing our feature this week to get a 14.2, which will be the first release that we will put out that will have crosswalk for people who want a release rather than just a daily or a weekly. And that's what we are adding. So capability to add a vendor-defined SMAC model, because we have a three-level SMAC model, but you know it will be a bit light for some people, so they will have capability to have their own. We are adding a Yocto build support, and I'm actually demonstrating that downstairs in the tech show. We already have capability to build common base on Yocto, and we are working to integrate Crosswalk and then the AVI full stack. We have added simultaneous multiple users. That's already done. We have the integrated browser, which is based on Chromium WebKit. Chromium Blink. We are providing extra additional interfaces for different devices and providing those on the web API. And obviously, we are still working with the compliance for Genevieve and AGL. And one thing which was asked a lot is to add QT5. So that has actually been done in common. And as soon as the next release, 14.2 will come, you will have capability to put QT as well on your system. And QT is integrated in Wayland and can cohabit with Blink, which is based on Ozone. So we have the multiple graphical toolkit, which is supported through the XDG extension of Wayland that we have integrated. So that's on the roadmap. I see a lot of people trying to make photos. Read that is extremely difficult. The slide will be published within likely the first hours after this show directly on the conference website. So let's look at the architecture of Tizen AVI. Tizen AVI, as we've said, is currently only supporting web application. That's our reference. So it doesn't mean you cannot develop native application, but they are becoming today, they would be platform application. You cannot have a download and an add-on. And that is supported by a web runtime, which is Blink, which is capable to connect into our middleware. We do as much as we can implement the web API in compliance with W3C. When the W3C API do exist. When they do not exist, we create specific Tizen domain API. And when the W3C API are stabilized, if they come, then we deprecate our own APIs and we go to W3C. So you're going to see some changes of some API because going to the next release, we have some API which actually have been accepted in W3C, and so we are deprecated the Tizen one. And then we have the core. So on the core, we have what we call the middleware. The first part is the application framework. This is a key element which is very new in the new release of Tizen AVI 3.0 because of multi-user. In the past, we had only one user in Tizen. Tizen 2 only has one user, which is called app. And for those who have looked at the code, has a UID 5000. We have changed that, which means that now an application can be installed either for the entire system or for a specific user. So that's a big change which has happened. And that has implication in the way you install the application and the way you declare them. On the graphical UI, the previous release of Tizen was already built on Wayland. The big change is what we have added is the support for multiple toolkit. Previously, you had only EFL to write applications because the window management was actually done by EFL itself. And those of you who have tried to play with the touchscreen know that it was pretty difficult because mouse event and touchscreen event were actually mixed up in Wayland, so it was difficult. We have moved to the next release of Wayland. So the current release we have is the candidate which was used to go to 1.5. It's not the 1.5. It's actually the candidate to 1.5. We'll update to 1.5 likely in the next months, which has the XDG extension. So those are the desktop extension. So the desktop extension of Wayland enable to more or less has a very simple basic window management facility directly in Weston without having the need to have a full-fledged window manager. And the main advantage is that it is toolkit agnostic. So we have actually, including the XDG connectors into EFL, so the version of EFL that has that is the 1.92, so that's what we have now. We have done the same for QT, and we have done it on QT 5.3. So we're really upstream on these two projects. And we also have done the same on Ozone in such a way that Crosswalk and Blink can work, which allow you to really mix and match if you have to. You don't have to use one specific toolkit. Now, if you remain purely HTML5 for your entire UI and you don't have a single application which is based on graphic for native, then probably you're going to do everything on Blink anyhow. But if for any reason you have some application which are native on your platform, you have a quite good freedom on your toolkit. Okay. Now, we have not ported the middleware abstraction of Qt inside Tizen, and we are not likely to do that quickly because that's a big problem for security. We'll come back to security later. So I'm talking about the graphical toolkit, so the graphic part. But if you want to write application in QML, for example, you can. Then we have the web. So the web is really the most advanced web engine which is on the market today. We still have the location. Security, we'll come back on security. We really have a very advanced security model based on SMAC and on the description for the applications of what we call a manifest. System and base, I would say, are pretty standard. Connectivity is done by two frameworks, the Bluetooth framework and a network framework, which probably are based on BlueZ and Conman. But it's quite transparent for you what the way you use it. So that's one of the beauty of it. So if, for example, you have to create an internet connection over BlueZ, which goes over your phone, you don't have to bother. The system does it for you. You know, it's probably transparent. And PIM, as I've said, you know, is one service we have as well. So that creates our IVI set of middleware. And you will have to put it on a Linux kernel and Linux driver set. Now, we do provide reference platform which are suitable for work on IVI through the VTC 1010, which is an Intel-based platform. Okay, which is not surprising. You know, Intel pays my bill every month. But we have also done a port of Tizen Common on ARM on the Android. And I know that there are companies, and Renesas in particular, who wants to very quickly have a port of Tizen 3 on their chipset. So I'm going to meet them tomorrow to discuss how we can do that. So we will have a reference platform on ARM as well. Now, that is the general part of Tizen IVI. So we've talked about how do you participate in Tizen IVI, or how do you use it? We hope that you will not only use it. I would like you to also help us. And what is a general architecture, and what are the general services? Now, let's get into what is really new in what we have done in the recent past. The first thing is that we have enabled multi-user. The numbers of screen in a car is getting very high. Okay. Obviously, this is not a low-end version of a car. Okay. But this is where it's going. Okay. It's a bit over the top, I have to say. But it is where it's going. And we have at least on any car now, we're going to have three screens. That's just going to become standard on any decent modern car. Between the central console on the front, the two screen on the back, which probably will be twin display, and your instrumentation panel. That's at least what you're going to get in cars. And we have to manage that. So what we have done is that we have taken the requirement for multi-user, and they were pretty well defined by Genevieve, actually, so which helps. AGL has similar requirements. The first one is that when you start, you need to have a guest login. So before you log, you have to get something working. So you open the car, you know, things have to work, basic. You should be able to tune in the, you know, the central heating and the air conditioning, even if you are not identified in the car. That's basic. You know, if you rent a car and before you have actually been able to peer with a car, your phone, and declare yourself and given your identification on Gmail or Yahoo because it wants to know who you are before you can do anything, that's going to be annoying, okay? Going to be very annoying. So the basic has to work. Now, once the user has been detected and so logged, which could be done by the key, actually, we know that people are working on camera, facial recognition, because that's quite cheap and it's very, it has a very, very low intrusion into the user. Now you can start to provide extra facilities, which can be small. You know, my wife doesn't like to have the same radio preference than me. Okay, we disagree on that. So it can change that quickly. It can change the tuning as well of the air conditioning. So you have things, but also you can have apps which can change preferences. You know, I am a sailor, so for me on the GPS, the north is always on the top. You know, I hate these cars which try to tell you fly. You know, I don't fly with my car. I won't see a map. My wife seems to be, you know, liking a lot of flying options, you know, where you see the things. But also we have the level of detail we want. I don't mind if I have plenty of things on my map showing me at the same time where's the petrol station, where there is traffic, if there is space in the car park. She wanted as simple as she can, you know. So we disagree on the way we use the application itself. And then we have applications that I would like to have that she doesn't want, okay. Because I'm quite happy to have a few messages coming to me while I'm driving. She doesn't want that. So we have differences. So that's the first step of differentiation. The second one is sharing contact and private information. You don't want to share all the information with who is the next driver of the car. Who have you been calling? You know, the last call information, that is private. Now, if it is in the family members, it depends on the family, but you know, in mine, it's not a big issue. As long as you don't have an affair, that's perfectly okay. But if you have a rental car, it's a serious problem. You know, it's a no-no. It has to be isolated. So there is that need of protecting the data from the user. And also, you can have passenger in the car who wants to do things. You want to share the display, but you don't want to share the data. You know, if my best friend is in the car and he's trying to get me to listen to the very nice music that he has recorded on his phone, I want to have it. But he doesn't want to give me all his contact details at the same time. Okay? So that's a very important point. So we had to differentiate that model. So in the multi-user implementation, we have to forget what we knew in a traditional desktop. We had to say, okay, when we start, we already have a user which is working before login. You know, any desktop people will say, no, you know, the only thing you have is a lock screen. Secondly, we can have multiple users sharing the same screen, which is very unusual. But we also have the capability to exchange a screen, because sometimes you just stop and you want to swap driver, and you don't want to have to change everything. You just want to say, okay, I was driving, and now it's my wife driving, because I've been driving for 2 hours, and she has to drive. And then you want to swap all the applications which are open. We don't want to have to close them and reopen them. That's not what we want, you know. So that's what we have to get. And obviously, we have security protecting. We also have a specific constraint in RVI that when you are the driver, there are things that you cannot do. So we had to dissociate seat and user. So we did it. And if you look at Tizen Common today, the base, it will start 5 users which are sharing the same screen. If you connect a second screen to the system, you will see you are able to swap the user from one screen to another one. In order to implement that, we had to do deep changes. Application framework, login manager, starting procedure, security model. So security. I insist that. That was a great from the New York Times research to show how a car can be hacked remotely. Do you want that? What could they do? Get the horn going on. That's not very bad. But prevent the car from powering and drain the battery down. That's great, you know. If you know that your competitor is going to go to a meeting the day next, you just hack his car and he cannot go, okay? You can change the speedometer and gas at will. So if you want him to drive slow or you want him to have a big ticket, you know, it's a great opportunity. But you can do worse. You can slam the brake at any speed. So interesting, if remotely you are capable to know that a car is turning and is going fast and you can slam the brake, you're likely going to get rid of the person. When my wife saw that, she told me that we are not going to get a car until we can fix the problem. Because if I want to get rid of her, I could. So we have integrated the security. We have provided application isolation with controlled sharing. We have a per application control and privilege resources. And we have a multiple user on a single device. So that's what we have done. that integrated, we give you that working. It took us a long time. And for those who follow the Tizen project, they know that we had our image broken for what? 6 weeks, if I remember quite well, or 7 weeks before Christmas, because of security. We just could not get it. We locked the system. Now we've done it for you, it's available. It comes ready-made. It's based on SMAC label, which is a fairly simple system. In Tizen 2, we try to do everything with SMAC. We arrived to 20-something thousand rules, which were far too complex, and the worst of it, we also, because of the complexity, found a way to go back through our system, and so the security was not good at all. So we had a very complex system, and the security was actually weak. So we simplified it in order to be able to control it, and we only do a few things with the SMAC label. We really do the core. We completed it by application manifest. We declare what an application can do. Now that is very detailed. You know, for example, on Bluetooth, you could be able to use a headset, but not be able to use a remote control for having access to the smart card for the SIM. And that we do through a manifest system. Now, we have to implement that in two ways. So we put this database in Cynera, and there is a talk on Cynera today that you can go to or look after. And we have to implement it as well in the application framework, which leads to the next step, the concept of service API. So what we are doing is that we are actually taking the traditional C API from Tizen and we are putting security on it, and so we have to do a daemon in the meantime to enforce that security system. Here you see immediately what I talked to you before, is that we only support web as a base, but that model allows you to have security as well for your core application. So if you want to do native application and benefit from security, you can. Now, you always have two options. You can write your native application in your own system and take responsibility of the entire security. That's your problem. But if you want to subcontract some native application, it's very interesting not to have to worry about security for them. Then it gives you more freedom on your subcontractor, less, you know, risk, because the system is actually enforcing the security for you. Web runtime, Crosswalk. Crosswalk does provide immediately isolation per application, but at the same time, optimize the numbers of shared process. So it's a trade-off between optimization and isolations. But every application is running its own sandbox. And the Crosswalk security, everything which is done on a process base is going to go through the service API we talked before. And what is internal is going to be directly treated by Cynera. So Crosswalk is actually one of our platform applications which has a knowledge of security. What else have we done? We had people say, we cannot write application in HTML5, it's not fast enough. So we wrote one example. Okay, it's called Modelo, it's demonstrated downstairs. I invite you to go to see it, and you will see that you can do in HTML5 system which are working as well as native. Now, it's a proof of concept, but the good thing is that we give it free on open source, so you can base your work on it. You can see how these people have done it to make it work, and so you can copy that. And then we have a few nice add-ons that we've put on. We talked already about Weston and Wayland, EFL 1.9, Qt 5.3, Ozone, which is coming with Crosswalk, GStreamer 1.2, BlueZ5, I just tell it because someone was talking about low energy, Bluetooth support. And on the build system, we support OBS as we used to do with GBS, but we also are adding Yocto, and we still have the Eclipse SDK. On the architecture, 64-bit for Intel, 32-bit for Intel, ARM 32-bit, and if someone is willing to do ARM 64, it should not be very difficult, but I don't have the hardware, so I invite you to make the patches to make it work. And we have some specific middleware that we have improved and for some added, like the automotive message broker. There is a presentation by my friends there later on the day. Murphy, DLNA, Wi-Fi peer-to-peer, NFC. So quite a number of very nice add-ons which are there. With this, I've been talking enough. If you have any question, you're welcome. Yes?
Is there anything to be dealt with by, well, here in the States, each state allows different rules on who can touch the screen based on the driver regulations, and maybe that way in other countries, I'm sure.
So the question is about requirement, legal requirement per state in the United States or per countries about what the driver can and cannot do. The way that is enforced currently, we have a policy management, so which is called Murphy, which can be used for whatever you want to enforce as a policy. That's one option, and then it becomes a system enforce facility. The other way is to do it in your application. It's your call. Then your application has to become a listener of the event from the car, probably the automotive message broker, to know that the car is moving, and you have that information. And then you have to enforce it. That's your call how you want to do it. But you have two mechanisms to do it. So I thank you, and I invite you to come to the next session on IVI and to download likely the security one and the common one to have a look at it, because they are very, very relevant to anyone who wants to work with IVI. Thank you.